Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Vasquez beaten away by Buffon, and then Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Lionel!
Romelu Chiesa now. Here's a Hunter. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantarita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Let's get the second hour of Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 underway. We've got a number of great interviews here. Quick reminder here, catch the Dynamo this Saturday night on Cube 57. That's where you catch the Dynamo all year long. Albert Elise, Mauro Manotas, Kiki Struna, Memo Rodriguez, and the Dynamo. Make sure you tune into the Cube, catch the pregame show and the postgame show. Join Eddie Robinson, Cindy Bourbano, and myself on the Cube. This weekend, the Dynamo at Minnesota United in their brand new stadium. So make sure you tune in early for that one. Also, a quick reminder again, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, the ICC, July 20th, Energy Stadium. You get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Bayern Munich just winning the German Bundesliga this past weekend. And Real Madrid, a lot of changes coming under Zinedine Zidane. Don't miss out. Get your tickets for Bayern Munich and Real Madrid. So we start off the second hour here with our great friend Tom Marshall of ESPN FC. We're going to talk some Gold Cup and Liga MX Final. As always, a great guest and friend of the show, Tom Marshall, joining us from ESPN FC. And Tom, I want to get right into Gold Cup and Tata Martino in Mexico. And, you know, without players like Javier Chicharito Hernandez, Carlos Vela, Hector Herrera, Tecatito Corona for this summer's Gold Cup, what's the general consensus in Mexico?
No, I mean, it's a bit of a kind of, everybody's kind of been a little bit taken aback by so many players not wanting to be with the national team. I think, you know, if you look at each individual situation, you know, Vela, it's not really a surprise. He's not been 100% dedicated to the national team before. Chicharito's going to have his first child and he wants to stay back in England. Herrera is expected to be announced at Atletico Madrid in coming weeks. So, you know, he wants to have a full preseason. The Tecatito situation is a bit different, but I think people are just kind of like, the debate in Mexico right now is, why are three of our best players, you know, kind of not wanting to come? They're not desperate to come to the national team this summer. And so there has been kind of question marks about, you know, what's gone on behind the scenes. And obviously for Tata Martino, this is his first big tournament, so I'm sure he's not at all happy with, you know, those three, some of Mexico's best players, not being there and available.
Now, on the other hand, Tata Martino, I don't think this is a man that's going to want to dance with players. In other words, you know, go through this every single time there's big tournaments. How do you think he's handled it, and what has he said in the press, in your opinion?
He's very direct when he speaks with the press. I mean, he's basically said, you know, this is a guy who's been Argentina's wise manager. You know, he's managed in Barcelona, and he basically came out and said he's never experienced anything like it. You know, he's never experienced at national team level, especially, you know, players not wanting to. So he is kind of, it has been difficult for Tata, because it's not just the players not coming. You know, behind the scenes, you've got Dennis De Clossi, who was one of the main figures in hiring Tata Martino. He's left for LA Galaxy soon after he was announced. Got Guillermo, who's the sporting director right now. He's now leaving after the Gold Cup. So you've got kind of two figures that were, you know, that went down to Argentina, that, you know, went to Atlanta and did the background work on Tata and convinced him about the project, this Mexico project moving forward to Qatar 2022. And now kind of those two have gone. Then you've got the players not turning up. And then you've got this, you know, Tata Martino seemed to confirm last week that Mexico won't be involved at the 2020 Copa America. So you've got kind of three issues there, which, you you know, for a guy who's only been in the job 5 months, he must be slightly concerned about, you know, the kind of direction that things are going right now.
Why do people, Tom, consider, Vela's not coming, Chicharito's not coming, that means there's trouble in the camp. Is that true, or is it just guys that right now are not prioritizing the national team? And maybe this is the new modern footballer that, you know, it's about your club, it's about you personally first, and second your country and playing for your country.
Oh, yeah, I mean, definitely there might be something to that. I would say, though, you know, with someone like Herrera or someone like Chicharito, I mean, these are guys who have come summer after summer, you know, always from Europe to play the Gold Cup, to play for the country. And, you know, oftentimes they go back to the season, they miss the preseason with the club. So, you know, I don't know, sometimes you have to give them a little bit of leeway as well. But yeah, I do also think there's another side to it. And I think that, you know, just when I go and cover the Mexican national team, there is often friction. It's never kind of, you know, when I compare it to what I see with other national teams and the relationship with the media and, you know, the relationship between the federation officials and others. And I don't know, in Mexico, it always seems like there's friction. It always seems like there's issues there, you know what I mean? And I think that the players actually, you know, they do have a bone of contention about, you know, their slice of the pie in terms of commercial responsibility. We know that the FMF makes big money, especially from, you know, the market in the United States, which obviously pays in dollars. And I think the players kind of want to take a stand as well, about what they should be getting from their commitment to this national team. So I think there are different issues. Right now it's a difficult national team, to be honest. It's a complicated one.
It's always a soap opera. I mean, do you see things visibly when you're there that says there is a bit of unrest, you know, like in the past as you've covered this team, because you cover this team so closely?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, it's an atmosphere. It's a friction. It's kind of, there's not that kind of, especially with the media, because obviously that's what I'm most involved in. But, you know, it's like players after the game, you know, it's not that kind of informal mixed zone environment where you can go and ask a player, oh, do you mind if I ask you a couple of questions, and you know, you get a good story from it. It's like the federation puts five players and say only these five players are going to speak now, and then, you know, I don't know, sometimes it's not the players you want to speak to, and I don't know, it's complicated to you know, to work like that, to be honest. And I think that the players are just very reluctant to speak to the press, for example. You know, there's not that kind of trust there. So you know, that I don't know. You do when you're around the Mexican national team. It's not a kind of, it's not a nice place to be, if you know what I mean. It's not kind of all laughs and antics and, you know, getting along brilliant with everyone. It's a battle. I mean, on the media
stressful,
side,
stressful, right?
You know, it's intense.
Is it stressful?
It's a battle between. Pardon?
Is it stressful for you as a reporter?
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, because I mean, obviously, you know, especially covering the team in English, I mean, you know, you've got to look for those angles which maybe the Mexican press in Spanish don't have to, you know, the Mexican press in Spanish are basically going to write anything about the national team because it's the Mexican national team. Whereas in English, you're trying to appeal to a wider audience. Mm-hmm. So you're always looking for those angles. And sometimes if you don't get the access, then you're struggling to get those, you know, the good stories and the things really to bring out the flavour of the Mexican national team. So, yeah, it is stressful. It's a battle. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just everybody, all the TV companies, all the media, all the journalists are all trying to kind of fight it out on the sideline to get a piece of a player or the manager or anything, just get anything from the national team. So it does feed into a kind of a really, really intense environment when you do cover the Mexican national team.
By the way, you can get Tom's article, ESPN.com. It's a very, very good article here. And as per your article, Tom, you know, Martino, you say in this article, is really not happy about this because he's trying to set the tone of a new culture in his culture. And then he's quoted as saying, you got this quote from him. He says, quote, "I don't think it's common when he's talking about players not coming to the national team. It's not something I've seen before. A call up to the national team is a reward for footballers. And when they don't see it as that, it's logical for them not to be here." Me deeper into that. That quote, because that's a big quote from Tata Martino.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he was asked, you know, about the Vela situation, the Chicharito, the Herrera, and you know, he's basically saying, you know, this is right at the start of his kind of Bell in charge as well. So I think he's desperate to see what there is. I mean, you know, I get a lot of stuff on social media saying, you know, now's the opportunity. Now's a great opportunity for Tata Martino to kind of, you know, introduce this generational change, which the Mexican national team is going to have to go under over the next 4 years and definitely the next 8 years. You know, you've got a generation of players that aren't going to be at the peak in 2022. But Tata Martino wants to manage that generational change at his own pace. He's not the kind of manager who's just going to kind of cut a load of the players just because, you know, he feels it's the right time. And I feel like, you know, he's not in charge now. He's not managing that change. The change has kind of been enforced. And I personally, Glenn, don't think some of the players are quite ready. You know, I don't think they're quite ready to step up. Obviously, it's good experience with this Gold Cup, but you know, the likes of Alexi Vega, who's basically now the backup to Raúl Jiménez as the striker. I mean, you know, he's a good young player, but for me, he's not national team ready. You know, Raúl Gudiño, the goalkeeper, again, he'll probably be the third goalkeeper, but he's not quite there. And I think there's a few players like that. So yes, so from Tata Martino's point of view, it's just kind of, you can imagine him looking at the job before taking it and saying, you know, this is how I'm going to do things. Look at Herrera. He's a great player. You know, Chicharito's there. He can help guide us. Vela, he's just in great form in MLS. And then kind of you can imagine Tata kind of ringing these guys up and saying,
yeah,
well, you know, what's going on? You can imagine the conversation.
Yeah. Unbelievable. By the way, you mentioned Raúl Jiménez. What a year for him in the Premier League.
Yeah, unbelievable. I think it's 13 goals, 7 assists. You know, he played in every single Premier League game. You know, it's basically Raúl Jiménez's breakout season. You know, the only kind of negative I can say about Raúl is, you know, he's 28 years old now. You know, so he made the move from America to Atletico Madrid, didn't get many minutes, then went to Benfica, where actually his goal record per minute was very, very good, but it was just, I think Jonas, the striker there, was scoring basically a goal a game. So, but I don't know, it felt like Raúl Jiménez had missed the boat. And at the end, interviewed him over there in Wolverhampton, and you know, he admitted that when he was at Benfica, he was quite close to coming back to Club America. So, you know, I had my doubts whether Raúl Jiménez would fit in the Premier League, but he's proven everyone wrong, and you know, now he's the number 9 now for Mexico. I think he's basically overtaken Chicharito now. On the back of this great season he's had over there in England.
Yeah, no, it's a great story with Wolves, and they were a fun team to watch. And by the way, that's not a team that doesn't invest. They spend a little bit of money to kind of bolster kind of what they're doing there, and that's impressive. But he's been a lot of fun to watch, and I started watching Wolves strictly because of his success and wanting to watch him week in and week out. All right, let's talk León and Tigres here. We got about 2.5 minutes, Tom. Kind of set us up for this final and what you think might play out.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the team of the season, which is León. They've been absolutely unbelievable. 40 points in the regular season, which is unbelievable. I think it's 15 wins from 19 games so far in 2019. I mean, León just absolutely flying, playing really great football under Nacho Ambriz. Angel Mena, he's got stats in terms of goals and assists that are up there with Messi, at least this year. Obviously, it's all relative with Messi playing in La Liga, but Angel Mena has been the player of the season by an absolute mile. He's going to have to come up huge for León in this series against Tigres. On the other side, Tigres are the team of the decade. I mean, this is a Tigres team in the 7th final since the turn of the decade. So, you know, Tigres looking for title number 7, León looking for title number 8. Obviously, I'd put Tigres just about favourite. Why? Because, you know, Tuca Ferretti, he's been there, they've done it. André Pierre-Gignac seems to have found a little bit of form. And, you know, this is a team that have been in these big occasions, whereas León, they haven't been of late. They've been like the sensational of the season, but now all eyes are on them. They need a performance, and you know, there's a lot of pressure on León. So I'd go just about Tigres, but, you know, this is going to be a good final as well. Two teams that like to keep the ball, like to attack. So, yeah, no, really looking forward to it.
Tom, you're the best, and you do such a wonderful job of covering both Mexico and the Mexican League. Thank you so much for coming on, as always. Always insightful, always a lot of things for me to think about personally after doing your interviews, and I know the same goes for the listeners as well. Thank you so much, as always.
No, thanks for the invite, Glenn.
So that was Tom Marshall, and we appreciate him, as always, coming on this program. Moment here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual, and remember, they are the presenting sponsors of this show. So a big thank you to John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends, no matter what type of accident you get in car, motorcycle, industrial, construction. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Also, the place to be in Edo, the King's Court, 903 Hutchins in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. King's Court, 13 monitors for all your soccer-watching desires. They cover leagues from around the world. All the Dynamo games, a great crowd in there with El Batallón Prior. Get in there, get some of that British and Indian pub-style cuisine. King's Court, HoustonTX.com. Say hello to Jay and Megan. Get down there right near the stadium in Edo at 903 Hutchins. Stay with us. When we come back, we hear from the all-time leading goal scorer in Major League Soccer. Yes, former Dynamo Chris Wondolowski.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
Espinosa, the shot. Usen with the save. Can he get there? He won't. Here's a good opportunity. Yule. Waldo's at the back post. Waldo for four. Waldo. Wando's camped at the back post. Here comes the cross looking for Wando. It slipped and it's in. There is your undisputed leader in regular season MLS goals, Chris Wondolowski.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Not only is Tri-Eagle Energy bringing the energy on Houston Dynamo game days, but they're giving Houstonians the power to win free electricity for an entire year. You want to learn more? Text POWER to 77177. Sign up for any Power to Win electricity plan and receive two Dynamo game tickets, two t-shirts, automatically enrolled to enter free electricity for a year. Each time the Dynamo win a game, Tri-Eagle Energy will draw a lucky fan or customer to win a free year of electricity. And by the way, the Dynamo are winning a lot. Again, you can also enter to win by texting POWER to 77177. Visit TriEagleEnergy.com to learn more. PUCT hashtag 164, which leads us to one of the great stories in all of Major League Soccer history and maybe in American soccer history, period. He's former Houston Dynamo Chris Wondolowski this past weekend with four goals against the Chicago Fire, smashed the regular season goal scoring record to become the all-time leading goal scorer in Major League Soccer, now sitting on 148, besting the record by Landon Donovan. We caught up with Chris Wondolowski earlier today. So, Chris, early years of Major League Soccer, not getting a lot of opportunity. How much did you have to rely on your own self-belief?
I think that played a big factor. But that being said, I think it was just an amazing locker room with the Houston Dynamo and all those guys. You know, get to learn from some of the best of Brian Ching and Dwayne De Rosario and Brian Mullen and, you know, guys like that that really helped teach and pave the way for me and helped me understand to be a pro both on and off the field.
And I remember you after training sessions also with John Spencer and continually working on, finishing and different things that a striker needs to do. Plus, I saw you banging a lot of goals in the reserve league, so it's not like this just fell in your lap. You earned this.
Oh, thank you. There was a lot of hours and there's a lot of people I have to thank. I think John Spencer played such an important role in everything and, you know, taught me a lot of his, a lot of the craft and what it takes to be a striker. And there were definitely a lot of hours that, put him on the field and working after training and things of that nature. And so it makes it that much more
enjoyable to finally get it done.
He's Chris Wondolowski. He's Major League Soccer's all-time leading goal scorer. How about 148 goals in 338 games? Absolutely remarkable. Double-digit goals 9 seasons in a row. Also remarkable. Look, I've seen very talented, hardworking players never get an opportunity in the early years of their career, and then they drift away and you never hear from them again. What kept you going? What kept you going as far as training like a first-team player to be prepared for that opportunity?
I think I'm a very competitive person, and you know, once I got out there on the field, I wanted to win. I wanted to help the team any way I can, and felt that, especially being a striker, scoring goals is one way to do that. And so you just always have to, keep developing your trade, whatever it is, and try to get better at the things that you do well, and also improve the things that aren't necessarily your strengths. And again, I think a lot of it is the guys that I learned from early in my career of what it takes to be a professional, how to grind it in every day. And it's not always going to be easy, but it's something that, it is enjoyable when it does happen.
So I hear all the ways of describing Chris Wondolowski, and there's been a lot of great commentary out there from a lot of people, your ex-teammates. They talking about your hunger, your insatiable desire to score goals, your movement, that you're never idle. I think that was one from Matt Beisler, an opponent. Others talking about your timing and outthinking opponents. This innate ability to know where the ball is ultimately going to be and meet it there inside a penalty area. How do you describe that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I definitely do work on that. I study the game. I love watching different games and different strikers, especially ones that try to think their way through the game. And but, I mean, also, it's kind of knowing your teammates. And I've had some fortunate enough to have some great teammates and able to put the ball in extremely, dangerous areas. And so I usually know their tendencies. If they're wider on the field, I know that it ends up kind of going to the near post. Or if they're, get down to the byline, and sometimes they like to chip it back post. And so it's kind of knowing my teammates and then also just trying to find the space, if there is space in the penalty area, and just trying to exploit it any way you can.
Chris, were there games when you looked at defenders? Because what I always loved about you, and there is a statistic out there of how many goals you scored late in matches, I think 23% came in the 76th to 90th minute, which tells me your attitude is insatiable at that point of the game as is in the first minute to score goals. Did you ever have games where more mentally, because you didn't let down and you kept finishing runs, that you felt you were winning the mental game over defenders?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's a big part of my game. I'm never been the fastest or strongest, but I do have a pretty good endurance. And so I always feel that I can keep going. And so sometimes I enjoy looking up there and seeing it's the 80th minute and seeing, a defender hunched over. And sometimes that gives me the confidence where, okay, I got him now. I can make, just continue to make these extra runs, and he's not going to stay with you that one time. And more often than not, that one time that you don't follow a runner or you don't track back is when it falls or when the rebound comes to you.
He's Chris Wondolowski. He is now Major League Soccer's all-time leading goal scorer. I got to talk about your personality, because the first time I met you as a young guy in Houston years ago, you're no different now, which is a wonderful thing. But your personality is kind of polar opposite to these, bravado type forwards, the Zlatans of the world, and the guys that have these sort of personalities that are very, very different to your very humble personality. And now I see you roar after you score goals, but where does the humility and kind of that humble nature come from?
I don't know. I mean, I think that my parents, did a good job of raising me and always trying to be kind and, polite, and manners being a very important factor in growing up. And try passing that down to my kids as well, because I do believe that manners and being polite goes a long way. And to be honest, I think that, just being the team, wanting the team to win, and it's something that, I was able to learn in college and things of that nature. It's helped me, and it's helped me, stay on teams. It's helped me, get a roster spot. And, I think that, once you see how you can help a team, even when you're on the bench, it's contagious. And so I think that it's helped me, the road that I've taken has helped me, I think, become the person I am and I'm the player I am. And so I think it is all intertwined.
Chris, you spoke about, and this is a great one for young players, you spoke about finishing runs. Now, we saw in Houston the other night Tommy McNamara finish a run and believe the ball was going to be there. You are a firm believer in finishing runs. Just take us through that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that, especially being a striker, you have to be the ever optimist, and you have to believe that the ball is going to get there. And it's not always easy because you have to make that 10 extra yards of a run. And, you know, majority of the time, you know, 99 times, the ball's not going to get there, and you have to run those 10 extra yards back. But that one time it does get there, it makes it all worth it. And it, I don't know, I'm a strong believer of that. You have to be, you know, just an absolute optimist. You always have to believe that ball is coming to you. And if you do believe it, sometimes it does come.
Chris, Craig Weibel had a great quote about you. He said he's not camera hungry, which, you know, in this day and age, everybody's got something to sell. Everybody's, you know, taking shots of themselves. Why has the social media side and all that stuff not really appealed to you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I actually am. Not a fan of it. You know, just, I don't understand, you know, just having a picture by yourself. You know, it's, I don't know. I really do believe that the team is such an important play. And I think a lot of it is my game. You know, I'm not going to dribble past players. I'm not going to, you know, beat guys by myself. I need my teammates to help me and to help me score. And I wouldn't have it without them. And so I think that's why I do enjoy, you know, having the credit with them.
Chris Wondolowski, San Jose Earthquakes, former Houston Dynamo. You got to know him down here in Houston in the early years, 2006, 7, 8. These were the years Wando was here. 2009, you get traded to San Jose. What are you thinking about when that happens? You know, is this maybe now my breakthrough here to get more minutes?
Yeah. I mean, you know, San Jose was, you know, still a new team. They, you know, renamed and came back in 2008. And so they were struggling in 2009. And, you know, I was very unfortunate, you know, very, you know, mixed reviews. You know, I was bummed that I was leaving Houston. I absolutely loved my time there. I loved the locker room. I loved Dominic Kinnear, and I thought he's such a great coach. But I also did think that, yeah, this is my shot to actually, you know, earn minutes and, you know, show what I can do out there. And so it was exciting. I am very grateful for Dominic to take me back to my hometown as well, which is just having that comfortability and having friends and family in the crowd. It's definitely been a huge benefit.
Tell us about your coaches in your career and what they meant to you, starting with Dom.
Oh, I can't do it without them. I'm so grateful for all the coaches that they've played a role. You know, Dominic Kinnear, John Spencer, especially a lot of the assistant coaches who've helped me, especially after training with finishing, you know, like John Spencer, Frank Yallop, who traded for me and really gave me my shot. And he just really had the was able to give me the belief in that in myself and really helped me. And so grateful for Frank Gallup and Ian Russell and Steve Ralston, guys like that have really helped me and benefited me throughout this whole time. And now Matias Almeida, I think, has really reignited a passion and a fire in me and, you know, has made the game enjoyable. And it's fun again. And I appreciate him as well and this coaching staff.
Yeah, that's a real interesting one, and I like the fact that he's in Major League Soccer with you now. What is it about Matias that's kind of sparking your interest and kind of getting you to look at the game differently as a striker?
I love his just outlook on it, you know, and his philosophy of the game. He's kind of an old-school guy where he wants everyone to work hard, and he holds everyone accountable. It doesn't matter if you're the first guy on the roster or the 28th guy on the roster. He looks at you the same and gives you the exact same respect. But at the same time, he wants you to enjoy the game. He mentions it so often. It's a game. He'll want you to enjoy it. Go out there. Try things. Try different moves. Try to dribble a guy. And if you lose it, no problem. But you better be running back. You better be working back to help out. And everyone has their role on this team. And, you know, you just execute your role as well as you can do. And it's kind of refreshing, and it's great to have.
Chris, did Landon Donovan reach out to you at all?
He did. Sent me a great message, also sent me a text message, and, you know, kind of text back and forth, and, you know, great guy, great message, and I love what he said to me, and I still consider him the greatest U.S. of all time. And so it's kind of surreal to be, you know, mentioned with him.
Yeah, I had a feeling he had reached out to you. Chris Wondolowski joining us here. Last question before we let you go. Chris, how long do you want to keep playing? Obviously, you banked in 4 goals against Chicago, so I would say keep playing.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's so much fun, and I am just going to enjoy this year and just kind of reevaluate, talk with family, even the coach and everything, see how my body hangs up, you know, holds up. And right now it's, you know, I feel healthy, I feel strong, feel fit. So not exactly sure, you know, maybe try to push for one more. Maybe this could be the last year. Not exactly 100% sure right now.
Now, the way you play the game with your constant movement, do you think that's helped you avoid injury during your career?
Absolutely. I really do. I think that, you know, it's helped me a lot. You know, it's always trying to move, trying to stay away from the defenders. A lot of these guys, been fortunate enough to play with them, and they've helped me along the way with, like, Steven Lenhardt or Alan Gordon. They like banging into the defenders, and, you know, I'm kind of the opposite. I'm trying to stay away from these guys. They're big and strong, you know. I think Eddie Robinson taught me that lesson early. Stay away from them.
I love it. Listen, Chris, thank you so much. There's a lot of people down here in Houston very, very excited about what you have done and what you've done in your career. And one of the first things they always say is they compliment you as a human being, which goes along great with being a guy who has scored 148 goals. It doesn't get much better than that. Thank you so much for coming on the program.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, and thank you for all you guys do.
All right, Chris, best of luck.
Thanks.
So that was a very humble Chris Wondolowski, and we really thank him for his time. I would imagine his media requests right now just through the roof. Quick word here. I want to remind you about John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They are personal injury attorneys. They are going to give you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're getting soccer on the radio, John and his firm. They're also bilingual. Again, 713-322-HURT. Whatever accident you get in, car, motorcycle, industrial, 18-wheeler, the Daspit Law Firm will cover you 24-7, nights and weekends. Get that representation you need. DaspitLaw.com, John Daspit, and the Daspit Law Firm. And also a reminder, July 20th, yeah, it's in Houston, Real Madrid taking on Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich winning the Bundesliga championship this past weekend. Real Madrid, who knows who they may be bringing here under their new manager, Zinedine Zidane. Ticketmaster.com is where you get your tickets for FC Bayern against Real Madrid. Again, Ticketmaster.com, July 20th at Energy Stadium. You're not going to want to miss two of the biggest clubs in the world in FC Bayern, Bayern Munich, and Real Madrid. Ticketmaster.com for your tickets. We'll take a break. More to come.
Another one bites the dust.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
Sterling gets on the side. He's got himself up on the air. And it's De Bruyne. Kevin De Bruyne walks it in. And Manchester City are on the road to the treble.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, look, I don't want you to forget Real Madrid-Bayern Munich. The ICC is here July 20th at Energy Stadium. Houston soccer fans, not going to get much better than this. Two legendary teams in town, Bundesliga winners Bayern and Real Madrid. It's the Galacticos and maybe a few new Galacticos. Don't miss out. Get your tickets for Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Ticketmaster.com. And for Hugh O'Connor's Pub, it's going to be packed on June 1st. It is the home of the Liverpool supporters group here in Houston. It's right in the thick of it at the Marquee Entertainment Center, 7620 Katy Freeway. Go see Peter. Outstanding beer selection, whiskey offerings. Hugh O'Connor's Pub, 7630 Katy Freeway. How about a great guy to get on this show, and really excited to have him on. Last year played on loan from Stoke at Queen's Park Rangers. He is the former Houston Dynamo. You know him for his time with the U.S. national team as well. He's Jeff Cameron. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a long time, but glad to have you on.
Thanks for having me, Glenn.
Well, I know you're back in the States, so I think the first thing I want to do for, you know, all the listeners here is basically let's get a little bit of a lay of the land of where you are right now. We know you had a season here with QPR in the championship. You suffered a ligament injury. You bounced back wonderfully from that. Stoke is still your club. Where do you see yourself playing here in the future?
Yeah, it's kind of everybody's been asking me that. It's as of right now, I'm headed back to Stoke for preseason and, you know, try to earn a spot there. You know, with the fact that, you know, they got rid of Gary Rowlett and brought in Nathan Jones. Obviously, he's a new manager, and we haven't talked yet, or we haven't kind of been in contact, but, you know, I've been told that I need to report for preseason and kind of go from there. So, you know, just basically as of right now, you know, I'm excited to get back and get back into the swing of things and obviously prove that, you know, I'm still the player. And, you know, for me, going on loan was probably the best thing because, you know, when anytime there's a new manager that comes in and, you know, with the transfer window and things were kind of sniffing around the end of last year where there's a few Prem teams that came in and some other championship clubs, things didn't really turn out. Stoke didn't want to let me go and there were some other things that happened. And then obviously Gary Rowlett wanted to bring in some of his guys and I was allowed to go on loan. And, you know, Steve McLaren was a big fan of mine, I guess. And he brought me into QPR and honestly, it was one of the best things that's happened in a long time because he actually made me enjoy football again. We were doing really, really well. We were flying. And then obviously the four lone players that he brought in, three of us got injured in the same game. So it was a tough Jeez. One to swallow. And, you know, we were a thin squad towards the end of the season, but I was able to get back fit and we finished the season on a positive note. But overall, my experience with QPR was absolutely fantastic.
He's Jeff Cameron joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. So Jeff, for our listeners, a little bit of maybe what the difference is between playing in the Premier League and the Championship, because you always hear a lot of people say, hey, the Championship may in some ways be much more difficult.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, I think, you know, from top to bottom in the Premier League, there's a lot of good quality players. You know, it doesn't drop significantly. You know, you have your top six clubs in the Premier League and, you know, you have, you know, the Chelsea, Arsenal, Man City, Liverpool, Man United. You have those teams and you have the kind of teams behind. I would say the biggest thing is it's like, it's such a transition game. It's crazy hectic, you could say. There's so many games in a week. You know, you're going sometimes Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. Sometimes Saturday, Tuesday, Friday. It really all depends on your schedule. But things are super, super intense. They're quick and some games aren't pretty. You're not going to play your good football if you want to get the ball on the ground and you just got to battle. And it's just about kind of staying consistent throughout the season. I mean, if you look at the situation with Leeds did well in the beginning of the season. We're great all the way up to the end and kind of started slipping. And then, you know, with the great comeback that Derby had, knocked them out. And, you know, they were one of the better teams all year and they fell short of being promoted. So it's kind of hitting the stride at the same time. And the games were, and that's the thing. I wish the MLS had some type of implement of relegation or some type of, consequence if the team finishes last or whatever, because it makes things more intense and like every point matters, every game matters, because it does.
Yeah, that's interesting you bring that up because we talk a lot about that on this show, the lack of consequence in the regular season, and I think we see it in traditional sports, even like the NBA. I mean, Daryl Morey here locally, the Rockets general manager said, you know, look, there's just a lack of consequence. It's dangerous. I think it is too. you know, the fact that 14 teams make the playoffs in Major League Soccer, it's too many. So what could you do, you think, in MLS? You think you could make it only 10 teams making the playoffs? Could you, if you were 1, 2, 3, or 4 in your division, should you get an additional bonus? I mean, I think there's things that could be done, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's harder to win the league and become, you know, win the supporter shield and win first place all season than it is winning the MLS Cup. Mm-hmm. Because a team can just get in to the MLS Cup. And trust me, I experienced it. You know, there were teams, there were, you know, 1 or 2 years where we were up and down all year, but we knew when it came playoff time, we were a team that we battled and we had the experience and we made it to a couple, you know, Eastern Western Conference titles and MLS Cups.
Yep.
That I experienced. But I think there's got to be more of a, like, for me, I don't know what the bonus structure is now in the MLS, but there's got to be a significant bonus incentive for, you know, if a team finishes first, boom, these guys get this, the team gets this. Because winning the MLS Cup is, yeah, it's great, but you only play how many games to get there? Where all season you're playing 38, 40, almost 40 games, and winning the league is, for me, is more challenging than winning in the MLS Cup, I would say.
Yeah, no,
more of an accomplishment.
No, no question. The supporter shield is undervalued, and it's sad because the body of work that's consistent is really what should be rewarded. But you're right. Yeah, you can pick your moments and make a run, and there you go. You're the MLS Cup champions. That's the priority. Obviously,
right,
in this country.
But wouldn't you say it would be better if a team, there were some consequences if they finished bottom?
Yeah, absolutely. But the problem is,
and I can understand, yeah, if it's a team that is just coming into the league. The team's just coming to league, they might have a grace period of like, okay, they're building, you know, it's, you know, they have the expansion draft and all that kind of stuff, and they're trying to build a team. I get that. But teams that, you know, maybe you have a grace period for 2 or 3 years or whatever to build something. But if a team just, oh, there's no consequences and they just finish last place or whatever, or the bottom three or whatever, there's no consequences. Maybe they have to pay a fine or maybe there's something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Make it more challenging for the teams. And because I know, like, going away and you lose 3 or 4 nothing and then you get on the bus and you're just kind of laughing. You're having a, you know, like.
Yeah, so let me take you to that, Jeff. Were there times, yeah, where you inadvertently, and I'm not saying you would ever do this on purpose, but because of the way the league's structured, it's hard not to take the foot off the pedal on occasion, right? Because of the whole,
yeah, of course,
hey, we got the playoffs, it's a long season, which you hear all the time.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you knew, like, in, what, a month time, and you're in a situation, okay, we're guaranteed, you know, you kind of close out, you're guaranteed to get in the playoffs. And you can kind of take your foot off the pedal a little bit, not meaningful, but you might rest some guys, this and that. And just like in any team, you know, like Man City, Champions League, this and that. But you see when they're playing, you know, Champions League, and then you still have the same starting lineup, or maybe there's 1 or 2 tactical changes, but they're still putting out a team that's, you know, playing against Leicester because they're trying to win the title. They're trying to win the league. You know, they're not taking their foot off the pedal. Even though they're in Champions League, you know. So, for me, there were times, and maybe I was just young, and you know, I saw it from that perspective. But you know, since being over in Europe, you know, I've been in those points, the moments in my career where, hey, you know, I've been relegated. Unfortunately, I've experienced relegation. I've experienced playing in the Premier League, and you know, my first year, we had a month or so where we're kind of dropped in the bottom three, and that was a stressful month.
Jeff Cameron joining us. Last one before I let you go, Jeff. Just a quick hit on Chris Wondolowski, because, you know, you remember him from the early days, and what he's accomplished is absolutely remarkable, becoming the all-time leading goal scorer in MLS.
There was no doubt in my mind. He's always had the work ethic. You know, my first year, with the Dynamo, and then, you know, we were playing on, I remember we would dress for the first team game. Maybe one of us would come on. If we didn't, then we'd have, you know, the next morning, Sunday morning, we'd have a reserve game at like 10 a.m. And like for 3 years in a row, he was a leading goal scorer. every single year. And he found it hard to get minutes, obviously, with under Dom, because you had the likes of Dwayne, you had Brian Ching, two big-time MLS, you know, all-star fours, national team players, you know, big names that were scoring goals, and it was hard to break through. But his persistence, his work ethic, his drive never stopped. And then, boom, he got the opportunity, went to San Jose, and look at what he's done. Like, you can't take anything away from it. It's the guy is a goal-scoring machine, and I remember him training with him. You know, 10 opportunities, 9 are in the back of the net, consistently every single time doing shooting drills. And, you know, I'm just trying to hope and hit maybe 1 or 2 out of 10. But consistently, he was one of the best finishers I've played with. And I was ecstatic for him because he deserves it. Getting the goal scoring record in the MLS is a huge, huge accomplishment.
Jeff, great catching up with you. Thank you very much for coming on. When you find out who you're ultimately going to be playing for this year, whether it's Stoke, QPR, or another team, we'd love to have you back on and give us an update about everything, Jeff Cameron.
Will do, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
All right. Great having you on the show. So that was part one with Jeff Cameron. We'll play part two next week, but great catching up with the former Dynamo who said some very interesting things in that interview. Just a reminder here as we go off the air, a big thank you to our presenting sponsors, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. Don't forget Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, July 20th, Energy Stadium. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. And don't forget Cube 57. They are the official home for the Houston Dynamo. Catch all the matches, including Saturday night, the Dynamo taking on Minnesota United on the road. Podcast at PodcastArena.com and iTunes, Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook Soccer Matters. Until what next week, remember, Soccer Matters.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.